God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to guide us in this life as his redeemed children in Jesus is from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy. And there's just one verse that I want to reread. See now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I am wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver them out of my hand. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. You know, even before COVID, I was a game watcher. I like to watch games, whether it's Jeopardy, and I try to answer all the clues, but I don't even come close to even half of them. And there's other ones. But there's one game contestant or show, and it was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And they would flash these multiple questions. And I really don't like multiple questions that well. But just for an example, the greatest or the deepest lake of the Great Lakes is A, Michigan, B, Ontario, C, Superior, or D, Erie. And so this person would check off and say, well, let's go with C, Lake Superior. And the MC would say, is that your final answer? And the person would say yes. And of course, then the correct answer would leap up on the screen. But I want you to think about this today. The multiple choice question is for us. Who gives us life? A, Satan. B, Joseph of Arimathea. C, Jesus. D, Nicodemus. And of course, we're going to say Jesus. And the MC is going to look at us and say, is that your final answer? Yes, that's the final answer. You're correct. And so we are. We have been given life through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, even though we want control. Think about it. All of us want control. We want control so much that when events and occurrences come in our life, we write them down in a day plan, or write them or put them in our phone to make sure that we don't forget. We want absolute control. I don't like to fly. I like to have that control behind the wheel. Oh yes, I know. Statistics say that it's safer flying. But you know, you got to give control over to the pilot. You got to give control over to those flight attendants that they know what they're doing. I shudder. I shake. Because I want absolute control. But yet, God gives to us. He controls things. Have you ever thought about that? Read through Genesis. Chapter 1 through 3, how much control does God have because he created everything? He created the earth. And in each successful day, he created something different. And then at the end of the day, after he did creating, he looked and he said, it was good. Good and perfect. He had that control. He did that. And then he said to Adam and Eve, you can eat anything in the garden except that tree in the middle of the garden. Do not even touch it, or you will die. And of course, Eve, being created with the free will and thinking and doing, she wasn't going to be controlled by God. So she goes and she takes the fruit off the tree. She takes a bite and she gives it to her husband to eat. And their eyes were opened. No longer was God in control? Sin was. The devil, the serpent. Because God walks into the garden and he says, who told you you were naked? Why did you do this? And he's looking at Adam and he says, hey, it wasn't me. It was the woman you gave me. And then God looks at Eve and she says, oh, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. It was the serpent who beguiled me. And you know, we've been doing that ever since, passing on the blame to others, not even taking responsibility for what we have done, the sin we have committed. And yet, God still loves us. God loves us with this amazing, awesome love. And he wraps his arms around us and tells us that as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from me. And through Jeremiah, he writes, I will not remember your sins. An awesome love from an awesome God who's in control. It's always interesting when you listen to weather people and they talk about all of this weather that quote unquote Mother Nature has. That's not Mother Nature, it's God. God himself creates. God allows these things to happen. God is the one who knows that we have sinned. And so he is in control of the whole situation. That's why we begin this week, Palm Sunday, with Jesus coming through the gates of Jerusalem. And the people are there waving the palm branches, laying the rugs, the cloaks, the blankets in front of Jesus, so that as he comes in to the town of Jerusalem, he's coming and he's being welcomed as a conquering hero. Little did they know, on that day, on that Sunday, that a week later he would rise from the dead victoriously over sin, death, and the devil. Little did they know and understand what was going to happen during that week. They had absolutely no control over the situation. Jesus cleansing the temple of the money changers. Jesus sitting down with his disciples at the Passover meal. Getting up from the table, taking the towel with which he was girded, taking a bowl of water and washing his disciples' feet. And explaining to them that there are many rooms in my Father's house. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And after I have prepared that place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way? Jesus said to the disciples, he says to us, for I am the way, the truth, and the way, for no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was saying those words to his disciples. He says those words to us as well because he has complete control over the whole world. He has control over our life. He knows when he's going to call us home. He knows when he's going to call us to our heavenly home. He knows the time, he knows the date, he knows the year. And yet we have people that are saying, okay, on October 22nd, 2023, the world will end, Jesus will come, and we'll have that blessed kingdom here on earth. We can't tell. We don't know. We have absolutely no knowledge, but God is in complete control. Jesus even said that he didn't know when that time would come, but that God the Father had that absolutely in control. And Jesus is on the cross on Good Friday. And he speaks those words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew that if God didn't forsake him on the cross, that we would be lost. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be waving palm branches. There'd be absolutely nothing to hope for, absolutely nothing to see in the future. Absolutely nothing. But God knew that he had to damn his son on the cross, and so that he would die on the cross for us, so that we would have everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. And so this is an amazing God. He has that final answer because he shows us his love. He shows us that absolute love. And he gives us the power to love one another. He gives the power to us to forgive one another. He gives us the power to show compassion and comfort to those who have lost one another, to those whose loved ones have died. You know, I absolutely hate that one sentence that it comes up time and time and time again in shows, and we often use it too. I'm sorry for your loss. That's not the correct phrase. I'm sorry that your loved one died. But here is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus is that he gives life. He gives it life everlasting. And he has that power. Remember his miracles. He turned water into wine. And he stood in front of the tomb with Lazarus being dead, and he said, come forth, Lazarus. And Lazarus came forth. Such power that Jesus has. And he gives us life. And he wants us to share that power. He wants us to share that compassion, that comfort, that forgiveness, that life. When you think about the multiple choice question, and the question is, so think about this question of life. Who gives long-lasting life? A, Delco batteries. B, Goodyear tires. C, you're in good hands with Allstate. Or D, Jesus. Final answer, Jesus gives us long life. In Christ's holy name, amen.